Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. I'll buy you lunch tomorrow. Luke 22 at 7-Eleven. Luke 22. Taquitos are my favorite. Luke chapter 22 is a dark chapter. Luke chapter 22 is a dark chapter in the Bible. And as we see the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane and his disciples with him, and we see Judas there who will betray the Lord Jesus. By the way, we knew the whole time that Judas was going to betray the Lord. But one thing we didn't know is one of his very own is going to deny him. And we'll look at this scripture tonight, which we're very familiar with. And notice, if you will, in verse 31, Luke chapter 22 and verse 31, the Bible says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Talk about shaking the tree. He's wanting to shake Peter's life. But verse 32, I'm glad there's a verse 32, because the Bible tells us that Jesus said, "But I have prayed for thee." Hallelujah. Hey, Jesus is praying for me. Get out of the way. I'm going through, but notice what happens, "that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted," when the change, and we'll see that in a little bit, "strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." Lord, wherever you go, whatever happens, I'm going to be right there with you. And Jesus said this, notice verse 34, "And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou, that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." That you know me. But I want you to notice, if we'll skip over to verse 47. Verse 47, "And the Bible says, And while he spake, behold, a multitude that he was called Judas, one of the twelve, before them, and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they were about him, saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them," who was it, class? Peter. We know that through the other. Notice this. It says, "smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear." Why? Because Peter said, "Lord, I don't care what happens. I'm going to be right there with you. I'm going to protect you." And notice he cuts the man's ear off. That's a bad day. And then the Lord puts his ear back. And then we see in the very same chapter is a very sad story. Because in verse 54 it says, "Then took they him and led him through and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off." That's where it starts. All of a sudden, Peter's realizing the seriousness of the situation, and Peter begins to distance himself from the Lord Jesus. Because sometimes we say, you know what, I'm going to go with you until it gets tough. And then I'm going to back up a little bit and see if I want to be a part of this inner group anymore. Because why? I'm committed, but I don't know how committed I'm going to be. Hello. Anybody have friends like that? Come on, y'all don't leave me hanging. I know they may be in this room, but you can say amen. You know? Hey, we're going forward, you know? Let's go, guys. All right, I guess I'll go, right? That's the way it is sometimes. But notice what he says. He says, skip on down a little bit. It says, let's just read. Verse 55. "And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them." So Peter follows afar off. Now he's joined into the other crowd. And it says, "But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not." Verse 58 says, "And after a little while, another saw him and said, Thou art of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not." I like that. Man, I'm not. "And about the space of 1 hour," he had some, by the way, this was not a knee-jerk reaction. Peter had time to think. Holy Spirit had time to work. But notice what it says, verse 59, in the space of 1 hour, another confidently affirming, saying, of a true fellow also was with him. He is of a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, cock-a-doodle-doo, the cock crew. By the way, we also know that through the other accounts of this story is that Peter used curse words, that the Bible tells us that he cursed. He wanted to confirm that he was not with Jesus so much that he used the words that were not common for the disciples to use. Notice what else he said. By the way, that just shows you that if you're going to be a disciple of Christ, your speech is even going to be different. I'll just leave that for you later. Verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him before the cock crew, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Buddy, what a change of events. Here we have Peter saying, Lord, I'm going with you no matter where you go. I'm going with you. And here comes this crowd that's coming, a mob that's coming at Christ. And Peter takes his sword and whacks the ear off of this man. He's ready to go. And then the next thing we see is Peter following afar off. The next thing we see is Peter sitting with the other crowd. The next thing we see is Peter speaking and acting like the other crowd. I'll tell you one thing. I'm glad that I'm not God. You know why? Because Peter should have been sidelined. Peter should have been severed from the other disciples, and Peter should have been silenced from the rest of the Bible. Why? Because he denied the Lord. But I want to preach on this subject tonight. Just when you think God is done with you, there's another chapter. That God turns the page in your life and in my life. And I don't know about you, but if God decided to never use us and to sever us and to sideline us when we mess up, guess what? This church would be empty tonight. There would definitely be nobody behind this pulpit like me. Y'all can say amen. Whew, gonna be a long night. Every time you don't say amen, I just add an hour to it. No, I'm just kidding. But I want to pray and I want to ask the Lord to help us tonight. And maybe tonight you think, maybe the Lord's done with you. But can I remind you, there's always a next chapter. And we'll pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for this day. And Lord, thank you for the life of Peter, that we have an example of someone who, Lord, had denied you, that the Lord went against you in your darkest hour as a human on this earth. But Lord, you forgave him and you decided to use him in a great and mighty way. And Lord, I hope that through this scripture tonight that you can show all of us that, Lord, yes, we may mess up, and yes, we may not follow you as close as we should, but Lord, if we'll just come back to you and repent, and Lord, ask you to help us, Lord, that you will, and Lord, you can use us. Lord, help us tonight to relay this truth unto your people. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice some things tonight. Number one, I want you to notice that he will unshackle you from your past. He will unshackle you from your past. Just when you think God is done with you, or just when you think God is done in your life, number one, he will unshackle you from your past. Aren't you glad you don't have to be shackled to your past? That it doesn't have to be a chain that you drag for the rest of your life. That, yes, I messed up yesterday, but God's mercies are new every day, the psalmist said. That every day I get up, that God gives me new mercy and he gives me grace and he helps me to go on and to do his work. And can I remind us tonight that in Luke chapter 24 and verse 12, I want you to go over there with me if you will. We'll look at the verse. The Bible says, then arose Peter. Notice the scripture in Luke chapter 24. In verse 12, the Bible says, then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, stooping down, beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Listen, here, the last time we seen Peter, he had denied the Lord. And as far as we know, we can't be dogmatic about this, but there's really no account of Peter being at the cross when Jesus was crucified. We know John was there, but we're not sure Peter was there. We don't know what happened to Peter. I believe he went out, wept bitterly, and he had to come back to the Lord like all the rest of us do by repentance and saying, Lord, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? And guess what? We see that God must have forgiven him. Why? And I'll show you that here in a minute. But in Luke chapter 24, verse 12, we see Then arose Peter. Here's Peter at the day of the resurrection. Jesus has resurrected in that he has ascended to the depths of the earth and all these things. And then he's going to appear unto Peter here in just a little bit. But can I just remind you that I'm going to quit saying that. I'm just going to read the verses. If I just shut up and read the verses, we can go on with this thing. Verse 21, don't say the word, I said this word, but that's talking to me. John 21. Look there with me, if you will. John 21, and verse 15. I want you to notice this verse. Here we have the Lord. The Lord had spent 40 days after the resurrection, had spent 40 days teaching the disciples and the apostles, confirming them as apostles. But in verse 15, the Bible, you know these verses, but I want to read them. It says, and when they had, John chapter 21 and verse 15, it says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, remind you also, Peter just went on another fishing expedition at the wrong time. Peter's still messing up. He's not quite there yet, right? He said, I go fishing, and they say, well, we're going to go with you. God says, no, it's not time to go fishing for fish. It's time to go fishing for men. You missed it again. So he has to reveal himself again on the seashore to Peter again and remind him that, remember when he said, come and dine? That was this episode of this saga when he said, cast your nets on the right side. But here in verse 15 it says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I have loved thee. And he saith unto him, feed my lambs. Now, I know there's so much in here if you understand the word love and all this. I'm not going to give you that tonight. I'm just going to show you that he asked him three times, does he love him? Why do you think he did that? Because three times Peter denied him, and God's going to say, now three times do you love me? Now notice verse 16. He saith unto him again, second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said him to the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, the Lord Jesus broke through that old hard shell of Peter. And he says, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. He said, Peter, you know what? I'm going to shackle you from your past, and I'm going to use you again. And I'm glad God does that. I'm glad God forgives us, that he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Number two, I want you to notice this. Not only does God unshackle you from your past, but he unlocks doors that have been previously locked. That he unlocks doors that have been previously locked. And I'm not going to read all the verses, but in John chapter 20, verses 19 to 21, God, you know what? I'm going to read it. I'm going to quit saying that. I'm going to read these verses. John, I'm not in a hurry. Yeah, I don't have that much to say anyway. John chapter 20, we'll look at verse 20, or verse 19. I love this verse. I'm talking about unlocking doors. Jesus doesn't have to unlock doors. He just walks through them. Verse 19 in chapter 20 of John says, then the same evening, that was Sunday evening, by the way, Resurrection Day. It says in the first day of the week when the doors were shut. I like it that it explains that. The disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. And came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. That's a good word, good phrase to say. When you're sitting in there and you're scared to death because they're in private meeting trying to figure out where we're going to go from here, Jesus shows up on scene. And the Bible says that when he had said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And then said Jesus to them again, peace unto you, as my Father hath sent me, what? So send I you. We see that God is opening a door for Peter in his life, and that had been locked. Listen, so many people sometimes say, look, as you go to one door and it is locked, what do? Well, you don't quit. You just wait for the next door to open, and God will open the next door for your life. Maybe you've been shackled to your past, and I try to explain this to people that get married sometimes. One thing you don't want to bring into marriage is baggage. It's detrimental to a marriage if each other has baggage that they don't let each other know about. and you need to undo that suitcase and let people know what's going on in order to marry. But can I just remind you this, is that sometimes in our life, God locks doors in our life, but sometimes because we have to go around the hard way, sometimes we've got to go through Fort Knox to get back to where we need to be. Sometimes we have to go through the school of hard knocks. And when you come back to that door that was closed before, listen, Peter wasn't ready to stand up before thousands of people and preach the gospel yet. That door was closed to him, but now we see God doing what? God unlocking the door for Peter's life. Just when you think God was done with Peter, guess what? God shows up on scene and reveals himself to Peter. Listen, I don't know about you, but maybe you've knocked on that door. Maybe you're trying to find the door that you need to go through in your life. Can I just remind you, there's one word we don't like. It starts with a P and ends with patience. I hate to even say it. It's called patience. Sometimes we've got to wait on God's timing. And in Peter's life, he had to unshackle Peter from his past and from his mistake in life. And God had to take those shackles away, but also he had to unlock doors that had been locked before in Peter's life. And maybe in your life, there's some doors that have been locked, but because you've come back and that you repented of things, and maybe God now unlocks those doors for you. Maybe God, that he will allow you to go through a door that maybe you previously could not go through. You know, so many times I hear people say, you know, I really want God to open this door for me. Well, guess what? God's going to open the door that he wants for you, not the door you want for yourself. So many times in life we are like Peter. We fail the Lord, and maybe God needs to take us through a different route to get us back to where he wants to use us. That's true in my life. When God called me to preach, it was just amazing. And God calls me, and I knew that he was calling me, and my pastor knew that he was calling me, and I didn't want to go. My pastor said, if the next song you sing, you preach in between there, he says, I'm never going to let you sing again. I had preach in me, and I would get up there to sing, and I'd preach a message while I was singing. Anybody else do that? You ever heard that before? I get up there and say, let me say a little bit about this song before I sing, and 10 minutes later, I preached the message, and my pastor's like, you're going to quit that. He said, you're called to preach. And I struggled with that, and I struggled. But can I just tell you that when God called me, I didn't just immediately say yes, Lord, and go through that door. God had to take me through an obstacle course in my life because I failed him and because I went against him. But I'm glad that he unlocked that door in my life that had been previously locked. And I want you to notice number three, he unveiled his purpose for Peter's life. Go over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, just a very familiar scriptures tonight. I know nothing new, but he unveiled his purpose for his life. You know what? God has a purpose. This seems like a contemporary message. It just feels that way, unshackled from your past. And I almost didn't want to preach it just because it felt contemporary. Like, you know, this is your better life. But I'm just preaching what God has. He's unlocked doors, and he's unveiling his purpose for your life. You know, I want to preach something that's, you know, but that's not what God had for me. I'm not shucking corn tonight, sorry. I didn't bring the hammer. I brought the thimble, using the life of Peter, and he unveiled his purpose for his life. In chapter 2, verse 14, look there if you will, chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words. Here we see Peter about to preach one of the greatest revivals that had ever touched this earth before. Peter's now the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. Here was Peter, who we see in the previous life or in a previous time, who denied the Lord, who said, I don't even know who this man Jesus is. We see Peter who used the words and acted like he was part of the world so he would not be accused of being a Christian, not be accused of being a Jesusite. But can I remind you that God turns the page in our lives so many times. He unshackles us from that. He opens doors and he unveils to us his purpose for our life. And I know this is one of those sermons, but I'm just saying, God has a purpose for everybody's life. But the reason sometimes you don't know what the purpose is for your life because you're shackled to something. You're shackled to your past, or maybe you're shackled to a sin, and you can't break free from it because you're not willing to give it up to God unless you get caught. Hello. But I want to remind you that God is a God of forgiveness. But also God is a God of justness. Maybe you've gotten off course. Maybe you're riding. You know, sometimes you don't just get off on that on the side of the road. Anybody else hit that? You know, you get off on the side of the road. But some people, I think, have been riding in the ditch. And I don't know if you were driving on the roads Friday, but it stormed Friday. There was a lot of people driving through the ditches. I saw wreckers pulling them out. And sometimes as a Christian, you can get off. And when the storms of life come and when things come in your life, maybe you're not resisting evil. Maybe you're not resisting the sin in your life. And God's trying to steer you and God's trying to use you, but because you're shackled to that sin or you're shackled to your past. There's some people that can't get over their past. I tell the story all the time. When I pastored in Alabama, we had a lady in our church, a faithful lady, who never got saved because she believed that she had sinned so much God could not save her. You can ask my wife. I pastored her for 5.5 years. And she was one of the greatest servants in our church. Me and my wife dealt with her time and time and time again. But she could never get over what she had done as a young teenager. And I'm not going to go into what happened in her life. And yes, it was some harsh things that happened in her life that she did. But I want to remind you, there's no sin that Jesus cannot forgive. Why? Because we're all just sinners. God doesn't save us because we're homosexual. He doesn't save us because we're wicked. He doesn't save us because we're wife abusers. He saves us because we're sinners. And we're all on the level ground when Jesus saves us, that He saves us from our sin. Why? Because the first Adam messed it up. The second Adam got us out. And I want to remind you tonight that maybe you're shackled to something you shouldn't be shackled to. You need to come to God, and maybe you are saved. And by the way, a Christian can't sin. Hello. Wives, you should have said amen. Amen. And husbands, we're married to sinning wives. Moms and dads, your kids are sinners. Hello, your kids are sinners. They're selfish. Wah. You don't need nothing but want me to hold you and to feed you, right? The only reason that Jesus came was to seek and to save that which was lost. But also He came to keep forgiving us. Aren't you glad that you can come before God as a Christian and know that you messed up and say, Lord, would you please forgive me? And God says, yes. You know the difference between God? I used to preach a message a long, long time ago. It was entitled, God Has Amnesia. And God willingly chooses to forget your sins. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God forgives you and He forgets? Sometimes when you get in those squabbles with your spouse, they will bring up something from way back when because they never forget. It's like a steel trap up there with some people. I won't even give what sex that is. I won't say this females. I'll just say that it's whoever. Well, you remember back in 1971. No, I don't remember it. Well, you did this. I wasn't alive. I don't know how you remember that. But I'm telling you, people remember things. But aren't you glad when you go to God and you go, Lord, I know I messed up back when. And God goes, I don't know what you're talking about. Why? Because He has forgiven you and He has forgotten that sin. And sometimes you're just so shackled to things. And sometimes you're shackled to maybe a pet sin in your life. You need to get unshackled from that. Why? Because you're going to drag it around the rest of your life and it only gets heavier and heavier as you go on in life. And there is no key that you hold to unshackle yourself from that. Only the God of heaven has that key. But maybe there was a door that had been locked previously in your life that you couldn't go through because you were shackled to something. Maybe you need to go back and see if God will let you go through that door again. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God forgives, but God also uses us in his plan. God wants to unveil his purpose for your life. It breaks my heart so many times to talk to people that feel like they've messed up so bad. I was just telling last night, we had a man commit suicide, took a gun and shot himself. And I don't know the man's life. I don't know what was going on in his life, but he felt like it was incurable what he was going through. And I don't know, it just seems like we see that more and more today, that people feel hopeless. And they feel like, I have no purpose, and so I'm just going to take my own life. It breaks my heart to see that suicide is, that and heart disease is one of the leading causes of death among ministers. And I can count on both of my hands men that I know that have taken their lives, that have been in the ministry. Why is that? Well, because we are all sinners. Pastors aren't exempt from anything. Matter of fact, if anything, we're more of a target. Why? Because if Satan can get our pastor, he can get this whole church. And it breaks my heart, but I just want to remind you that God does have a purpose for your life. I don't like the purpose-driven life book. I never read it. We'll never read it because I have a book here that gives me purpose. And God tells me that he has purpose for my life. I'm not against those things. I'm just saying that God says that the work that he began in us, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So that tells me that God has a purpose for our life. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, I don't know what God's going to do with me. I don't know how in the world could God use me. Well, I want to remind you, there was a Rahab in the Bible. There was a woman at a well who had five husbands. I want to remind you that in the Bible there was a man named Saul who turned into Paul, who was a persecutor of the church. I want to also remind you that in the Bible there was a man named David who messed up his life, but God still used him. I want to remind you that way before then there was a man named Abraham who couldn't wait on the promise of God, and he went out and he messed up, but yet God still used him to be the father of the Jewish nation. And also I want to remind you there was a man named Moses who committed murder out of hatred, but God still used him to lead the children of Israel into the door of the promised land. This book is full of people who are broken, but it's full of a God who is not, and that God will use you. I don't know where you're at tonight, but I know where I'm at. I'm glad that just when you think God's done, God goes, turns that page. Maybe you need to live in the next chapter. Maybe you've been in chapter one way too long. That's how I read books. Slow. I do. I read so slow, and I hate that. And I hate hearing people say, oh, man, I read a good book last night. How did you do that? I can't even read a pamphlet last night. I had a book one time, literally, it was literally only 100-something pages. It took me 2 months to read that thing. I'd get in there, and I'd get lost, I'm telling you. I'm not a good reader. I'm not. And I work at it. But I want to tell you, when I get in here and I realize God loves me and God doesn't want me to be shackled to some things in my sin in my life and shackled to the weight, right? We got to run the race, but we got to lay aside the weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. How do we do that? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Tonight, maybe you just need to get a fix on Jesus. Let's stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. I'll pray, Pastor.